The investigation into the Haynesboro election is underway, and the appointment of a new member to the Skagway Assembly may have been out of order. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. In our last newscast, we told you about the Skagway Assembly appointing Jim Sager to the seat vacated by newly elected Mayor Mark Schaefer. The appointment came during a special meeting Tuesday of the Assembly where the only agenda item listed was an executive session about White Pass lease negotiations. Before going into executive session, Assemblyman Dan Henry asked that if Mayor Schaefer had a nominee in mind, that the Assembly take action in that meeting so the person might be able to join them for the regular meeting Thursday night. Assemblyman Gary Hansen objected, not to appointing Sager, but to taking up the matter of the appointment when the issue wasn't on the agenda and without a chance for the public to weigh in during the public comment period. The Assembly went ahead and approved Sager's appointment, with Hansen dissenting. But on Wednesday, Borough Clerk and Interim Manager Emily Deitch said the appointment was being taken up again at the regular Thursday meeting. She pointed out Borough Code states special meetings are subject-specific and that items not listed in the notice of the meeting may not be addressed. She writes the Borough Attorney advised the Assembly to take up the appointment again at its regular meeting Thursday at 7 p.m. So this story is a bit lengthy, so stick with me as we try to wind our way through it here. The investigation into the recent Haynesboro election is underway, starting with a three-hour public meeting that took place Wednesday, where election workers testified about how ballots were handled on Election Day and about the presence of a newspaper in the polling place for several hours on Election Day. The investigation is required since school board candidate Artie Miller filed an official contest to the election. Miller lost her seat, but she filed the contest before results were finalized. She said that was to emphasize her contest is because of the process, not the outcome of the election. Concerns and complaints started on Election Day about the process when several voters had their ballots rejected by the voting machine. Voters were told this was because their ballots were undervoted, meaning the voter hadn't voted for two assembly candidates or three school board candidates. Election workers told voters they could return to the voting booth to complete their ballot or submit it as it was by overriding the machine. Borough Clerk Julie Causey in the investigation proceedings said as many as 25% of the voters undervoted their ballots. It's unclear how many of those voters then returned to the booth. Miller, in her contest, says having the voting machine reject undervoted ballots and giving voters an opportunity to complete their ballot was the borough trying to influence how people voted. This was a point that Borough Attorney Brooks Chandler explored during the investigation Wednesday night. According to Borough Code, the investigation is conducted by the attorney, the borough clerk, and borough manager. Causey is the clerk who oversaw the election, but she is now acting as interim manager. Michelle Webb is the deputy clerk serving as acting clerk. The three of them conducted Wednesday's meeting, with Chandler asking most of the questions. He talked with 9 election workers from both Haynes precincts. He asked about their experience, training, and understanding of election rules, and he asked them how the undervoted ballots were handled on Election Day. He also asked about a copy of the Chilkat Valley News discovered at Precinct 1 on Election Day. The newspaper contained questions and answers with candidates on the ballot, as well as paid advertisements for some candidates and the ballot proposition. It came out during questioning Wednesday night that the paper was noticed by poll workers in the early afternoon, but not removed. One poll worker pointed it out to a voter when the voter asked how to spell the name of a write-in candidate. It wasn't removed until Causey arrived at the polling place just before 8 p.m. She said she believed it was inappropriate to have the newspaper there because it constitutes electioneering.
I was concerned when I saw the newspaper, and we removed it. We questioned the election workers about it.
As for the undervoted ballots, election workers testified the voting machine would display an error message on the machine, explaining why a ballot was rejected. If it said it was rejected for undervoting, the workers said the voters were always given a choice of whether they wanted to go back to the voting booth or have their ballot accepted as it was. Chandler, the attorney, unraveled the confusion about undervoting and rejection of ballots, tracing the issue back to the fact of the type of ballot that changed this election. Previously, candidates ran for a specific seat, like A, B, or C on the assembly or school board. They faced other candidates running for the same seat. So voters would choose one candidate out of a list of candidates for each seat. This year, the Borough Assembly changed the method to a roster-style ballot, meaning all the candidates were listed together along with the number of vacancies for each office. The top vote-getters out of the list were elected. The other factor in the situation is that the voting machines were calibrated to reject undervoted ballots. Kazi explained Wednesday that this setting on the machine is up to each borough or municipality to choose. But since she became clerk in 2003, she's never asked the company that programs the machines to change the setting. However, because of how previous ballots were formatted, Kazi said undervoting was never an option before. If people chose not to vote for a certain race, it was considered a blank race, not an undervoted ballot. The roster-style ballot changed that, but the programming of the machine wasn't changed. Kazi said it was a matter of not anticipating how voters would react to the roster-style ballot.
Frankly, this year in my wildest dreams, I couldn't imagine people wanting to vote for fewer than the number of vacancies, at least so many people. Obviously, that's absolutely a voter's right, and that's why we can override the rejection. And that's what the election officials did. We've already heard that testimony. The clerk's office tested the program and we certainly knew prior to the election that the rejection settings were working. But again, I could not imagine the volume with this new roster method. I've not experienced that before. I just knew that we hadn't had problems before.
She also said in discussions with the Assembly before the election, it was mentioned that it was important that voters vote for the number of vacancies open in order to easily achieve the 40% of the vote required for a candidate to win an election. Chandler explored that point in his questioning of Kazi. He asked if she thought the borough ever advocated for a position that a voter had to or should vote the entire ballot.
Well, did you consider all of this discussion then to be kind of an official borough position that people should vote for two in the assembly and three in the school board? That's what they should do?
Not really. I certainly didn't believe at any time that people had to vote for more than one assembly or more than one or two school board.
But the discussion at the September 24th assembly meeting did seem to stress that voters should not undervote. Here's Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel from that meeting.
I'd like to simply state that in the discussion, it was perfectly clear, I think, to those of us at the table that we recognize there is a dilution of a vote if the ballot is not filled completely. So it's important that the voters in the next election recognize that their vote will be divided by the number of vacancies. So it's very important to, if it's to vote for two, that you vote for two. If it says vote for three, vote for three. Because if you vote for any less than the number of vacancies, you're diluting your vote.
Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman followed up those comments with her concerns. She was joining the meeting by phone and said this.
I feel strongly that you should only vote for people who you feel are going to do the office justice. And to tell me that there's three seats on the ballot and that I have to vote for three seats even if I don't feel that any of the people running are qualified or could do the job that I think needs to be done, I think that's wrong.
Only one voter who experienced the undervoted rejection by the machine on election day testified Wednesday. Dana Hallett said his ballot was eventually accepted by the machine. Chandler closed out the meeting by saying part of the process of the investigation is to figure out if any of the confusion changed the outcome of the election. He said he wanted to talk to the company that programs the memory cards for the voting machines to understand if there's a way to determine how many voters returned to the voting booth after their ballot was first rejected. It would seem there could have been an effect on the outcome because two of the races were fairly close. Diana Lapham beat out Mario Benassi for an assembly seat by 56 votes, and Scott Dottridge edged out Artie Miller by 9 votes for a school board seat. Chandler, Kazi, and Webb are expected to compile a report for the Borough Assembly by next Tuesday. The report will be presented during a committee of the whole meeting Tuesday at 5:30. The group will then likely decide whether to certify the election results as they are or possibly order a new election. As a little side note, none of this would have likely happened without a U.S. Supreme Court case decision that came out earlier this year. The High Court in June declared a section of the Voting Rights Act unconstitutional. Until then, changes to a ballot in a certain district, including many rural districts in Alaska, would have had to have preclearance from the Department of Justice. With that part of the law struck down, changes were able to be made by the Assembly without that preclearance and go into effect this election. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Just a reminder, if you missed Talk Around Town on Thursday morning, we post the complete show on our website at khns.org. Just click the News tab or find a direct link to the show on our KHNS News Facebook page. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. I'm Margaret Friedenauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We air news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News, and on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lynn Canal Weekend, and you can listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening.